News to Tom Harmon, who's going to be missionary in Tanzania.
Thanks. Thank you, Pastor. It's a tremendous blessing to be here. We enjoy the morning service. We enjoyed Sunday school. It's a blessing to get to know you guys more. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to turn there. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you we have our brochure and our prayer card out on our table. Our brochure has more information, has our testimony, which is actually in our video, but it has more information about us, has the testimony, as my wife's testimony, our calling to Tanzania, as well as a recommendation or a quick letter from the current missionary that's in Tanzania that we're going to work with. So I encourage you to pick that up. It also has our email address on there. You can always email us or call us. You have our phone number. If you have any questions or want to know how we're doing, or even if there's a way that we can pray for you guys, because honestly, everywhere we go, we find other ways to pray for the churches that we go into. And we find it a joy to partner with you guys in prayer as well. So as you pray for us, we will certainly pray for you guys. Just let us know through email the best way that we can do so. We're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of God, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the light that they are to the community. We ask that you would quiet our spirits, quiet our souls, quiet our minds, and allow us to focus on you for this next time. We ask that your words would speak to our hearts, that you would keep me from saying things that I shouldn't. We ask that you would touch our hearts with something from your word that would allow us to get to know you better, that would give us a stronger desire for you and for the things that you want us to have. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things I love about what Paul is telling Timothy right here is at the very beginning of chapter 3, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Paul is telling Timothy some 2,000 years ago to be prepared for the last days. And I want to emphasize that to emphasize this. When Paul was writing this letter, he was in the last days. Many times we look around, and I've actually heard it said, we're so close to the end, there's not much else we can do. Folks, if Paul thought that way 2,000 years ago, how much would have not been accomplished? Because he would have sat down. Just because times seem perilous, just because times seem so bad right now, it is not time to give up, it is time to get moving. That's what I want to emphasize. But there's two things that I really want to look at what Paul is warning Timothy about the end times, because they are just as applicable to us as they were 2,000 years ago and as they were in the Garden of Eden. Just as applicable. One, false teachers are everywhere around us. We are going to be struck with false teachers. If you are trying to live godly, you will be approached by a false teacher. But there's another thing. There's also, we're going to be persecuted and have afflictions. In verse 12 it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. It's a guarantee. It will happen. So these are two warnings that Paul is giving Timothy that I want to warn you guys about, because I want you guys to be prepared for the times that the Bible is telling us will come. But there's a fix that we're going to get to just after that. There's something we can do to prepare for these times. And that's at the end of the chapter 3. But first I want to look at the fact that Paul is warning Timothy about traitors, people that are heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And what does Paul tell us to do? From such, turn away. We have to recognize the people that are like that, but we have to do more than just recognize them. We have to move away from them. We have to separate ourselves from them. Why? Because they're going to be a negative influence on us. They're going to reduce our impact for God if we continue with those relationships. We have to put a severance there. But out of all these ways, that all these words that Paul is using to describe these type of people, I want to boil it down to one thing, just for simplicity's sake. I want to boil it down to one thing, and that's a false teacher. And I say it to say this, a false teacher is not just somebody that stands in a pulpit and preaches false doctrine. A false teacher is anybody that is doing anything to lead you in a direction God doesn't want you to go. That is a false teacher. That can be your spouse. That can be your pastor's looking at his wife. No. That could be the person sitting next to you in Sunday school. If you're in college or in high school, that can be the person sitting next to you in your class. That could be your best friend. But we have to identify that they're leading us in the wrong direction. If you're here for our video, you saw that when I was just coming out of alcoholism and coming out of jail, I was struggling to get to know God and really desiring to find out who He is. And in that time, in this pivotal period of my life, we went to a church and we were visiting, and there was another man there that seemed, it was my age, seemed to be going in the exact same direction as I was. We started hanging out with him and wanted to go to this house and just fellowship and, you know, iron sharpening iron, all that sort of stuff. So we were over there, and I think it was the second or third time we went over there, he said, hey, you should come have a beer and a cigar with me. Folks, that is as much false teacher as somebody standing in a pulpit. He was trying to lead me in a direction that I shouldn't be going. Knowing, having full history of my past, knowing everything that I went through and where I was trying to go. And I am 100% convinced that if I had not spent the 6 months prior to that searching God out and finding Him in the Scriptures, I would have fallen prey to those temptations. We have to prepare for the false teachers that will come in our lives. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes family will come to you and say, why are you doing this? You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be a missionary in Africa. There's so many people here that need the gospel. Why are you going over there? And if I was to listen to them, I'd be falling prey to a false teacher. Why? Because they're leading me somewhere that God is not leading me. Here's another thing that I find funny is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge, says in verse 7. When I think of that verse, I always think of the university age that we're in. How everyone has to have the highest degree, go to the best top college, and you want to have the most prestigious degree. But folks, just because they're teaching something in a university doesn't mean it's truth. I was listening to a sermon, I think about 6 months ago, by a pastor who was teaching a doctorate course at a college. And in that doctorate course, at the end, it was the whole first class was setting the foundation and authority of Scripture. At the end of that doctorate class, some of the college students came up to him and said, sir, when we started here at this Christian college 4 years ago, we believed the things you're saying. But after being here, we just don't believe it. How can our Christian colleges that are teaching the next generation of pastors be teaching them that Scripture isn't everything? Scripture isn't all we need. That Scripture doesn't hold all of the truth. But it's happening. In our Christian colleges, we have to be aware of it. Nowadays, when I take theology classes or when I take any classes in college, you have to look at it and identify, is what this man is telling me truth? Even though he's in a Christian college that signs the same doctrine statement that I sign, is what he's saying true? I can't just take it for a grain of salt. I can't just say, well, he said it, so it's true. There are times that growing up in a Baptist church, I was told all sorts of different things about the Bible and different stories, and none of them were bad, none of them were heinous, but none of it was in Scripture. And as I began to search out Scripture and find out who God really is, I become to realize some of the things I learned in sixth grade Sunday school class wasn't true. It was rumors or things that were passed down from person to person, but it had no basis in Scripture. So when we're hearing things and we're learning things, we have to base them off of the truth. I talk about that, but I look at Moses or what Paul says. He says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses," this is verse 8, "so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Who were Jannes and Jambres? I want to take a quick second. I'll turn there. Don't worry about turning there in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. And for a quick introductory to here, if you don't remember, this is where Moses is coming against Pharaoh and doing miracles by the power of God, trying to show Pharaoh who God is so that Pharaoh will let the Israelites go. So that's where we're at. We're at this in these transitions, and when Moses is creating these or doing these miracles with God's power. In verse 18, he says, "And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Folks, that's exactly what verse 9 of our text is saying. "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men." This is the encouraging side of the fact that we're going to face false teachers. They will always hit a point where their power cannot match God's. And when that happens, you know for 100% certainty who has the true power and authority, and it's God. When the magicians hit a point where they couldn't duplicate what Moses was doing, what did they do? They instantly recognized this is the power of God. And they told Pharaoh that. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened because he was fooled by the false teachers. So that's one way that we're seeing the false teachers that we're going to come against. But we should take joy in the fact that they will hit a point where they cannot match God's power. But I want to look at the next thing. I want to look at persecutions and afflictions, because there's another problem as believers that we're going to face, and that's persecutions and afflictions. Verse 11 says, "Persecutions and afflictions came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." Hold on, I want to take one quick second. Is Paul saying that because we're believers of Jesus Christ, any problem that comes our way, the Lord is going to make the problems go away? Is that what Paul's saying? Because if we go into a lot of the prosperity gospel churches right nowadays, that's exactly what they're going to say. See, Paul says that the Lord delivered him out of all those problems. But are they ever going to admit that when he wrote this, he was sitting in prison? Being persecuted as he wrote this? The point is that God is not necessarily going to take the problems away, but the fact that, as we talked in Sunday school this morning, we have a comforter that is with us, that is walking us through the situations. We are never, ever, ever alone. Amen. That is what God is what Paul is talking about in the fact that he delivered him from persecutions. But then in verse 12, he gets into the really bad news, "Yea, and all..." And if you underline your Bible, underline the word "all," "live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions." It will happen. It is a guarantee. It will happen. I think of with our traveling and everything, if somebody came up to me and said, "Your vehicle is going to die in 100 miles. You've got 100 miles left and your alternator's going to go out, or something else is going to happen. You've got to get it fixed. What would I do? Would I jump in my truck, hitch up the camper, and drive 1,400 miles to Texas like I'm planning on doing tomorrow? No. I would take that thing to the shop and have them put a new alternator in it, or have them do an inspection and say, what is wrong? Why? I would prepare for what I'm guaranteed will happen. That's exactly what Paul is saying here. All that live in godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. This is something that is 100% guarantee it will happen. So what are you doing to prepare for something that we are guaranteed will happen? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So this is where we come to a thought of, if we're going to have false teachers, if we're going to suffer persecutions, what in the world do we do about these? How do we prepare for what we know is going to happen? How do we prepare for it? Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been made assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, this is what holds all the power and all the authority to fix everything that we just talked about. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. That is the fix for everything that we just talked about. We're going to get into verse 17 in just a second to clarify that a little bit more. But one thing I want to say is all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you don't know what that means, that is God literally breathed these words. This is His writing to us. Every word. When I first came back to God and I first started going back to church, I hung on to the red letters. Why? They gave me hope. They gave me peace. They gave me encouragement. But there was a point where I had to grow beyond just those letters, because I had to come to the realization that all Scripture was inspired. Every last word. It wasn't just the red letters. It wasn't just the books that are easy to read. It wasn't just the ones that are fun to read. My wife and I, she was telling this morning in Sunday school, we're studying some of the books of Judges. That is not a fun book to read. That is a confusing book and sometimes a scary book to read. Sometimes we want to turn the music up so the kids don't hear what we're talking about. It's that scary. We're going to give kids the nightmares talking about the Bible. But that's exactly what this is talking about. Every part of Scripture is profitable for us. So if it's profitable for us, don't stick to the ones that are comfortable. A lot of times people want to read Proverbs through the entire month, and every month they read through the book of Proverbs. That is fantastic, but don't make that the limit of your devotion time. Go beyond that. I would love if you did that every evening, do the Proverbs thing, but then every morning explore what God says in other parts of the Bible. Get to know God intimately. Search Him out. That is how we get to the point where we can have a resting place in Jesus. Look at verse 17. This is one of those things that just a light bulb went off in my head when I read verse 17. And I want to share that light bulb with you. Hopefully it's a light bulb. Maybe you already knew this and you're smarter than me. Probably. But I want to read it starting in 16 and through into 17 and read it in all one verse, because a lot of times people take out verse 16 and they hold to that. But we're missing something by not reading 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Why? Ask the question, why did He give it to us? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Folks, this is a furnishing. This is a tool. This is something that was given to us for a specific purpose, so that we are furnished with everything we need to serve God here. Everything we need to know who God is. A lot of times we want to say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that because I just don't have the boldness or I don't have the strength. If you're lacking anything, it's because you're not in this enough. That is where you get your power. That is where you get your foundation. One thing that I always think about is, if I'm sitting in that chair, what is it doing? It's my foundation. It's a firm ground. My wife and I were just talking when we parked out here, and I was looking at the church, and I was like, man, they must have had new siding. A lot of churches we go to are 200 years old. And I said, man, they got really beautiful siding. I was like, but look at the foundation. It can't be more than a year or two old. Pastor just told me it's 3 years old, right? It's got a strong, firm foundation. What would happen if that foundation wasn't there, but this church was built up without it? A couple winters and it probably wouldn't be here. Maybe even one winter and this church would no longer exist. It has a firm foundation. I want to put it to you this way. If I was to sit like this and I had a competition to see how long I could do this, maybe one day I'll do the competition. But I had nothing holding me up, just my legs. How long am I going to sit like this? There's going to be a point where my legs fail me, where I fail. My power is not strong enough and I'm going to hit the floor. But if I came down and I sat on the foundation that God gave me right here, if I sat and rested on that, how long can I be there? Forever. There is no limit. Folks, find your resting place. Get to your foundation. Here's another example. If I'm 10 feet above my foundation, if I'm 10 feet above that chair standing on a platform, and somebody pulls a pin and that platform falls and I fall 10 feet, how hurt am I going to be? I might break a leg. But if I'm an inch above that platform and the pin gets pulled and I fall an inch, I'm probably not even going to feel it. The closer you are to your foundation when bad times come, the less it's going to hurt. You need to prepare and be ready for those hard times that we are guaranteed will happen. This is what we do. We stay close to God on a daily, consistent basis. If it's been 6 months since you've read your Bible and hard times come, you're not going to know which way to look. But if you are looking at the Bible every morning and consistently seeking God, when those hard times come, and they will, God is going to use the scripture that you read and say, man, I just read something about that the other day that gives me exactly what I need to do. God uses this to plant into your brain and prepare you for situations you're going to come against. Now that we've looked at, and we're almost done, I want one more point. Now that we've looked at the problems that we're going to face as Christians, as far as the false teachers and persecutions, we've found the fix that's in the Bible. What are we going to do with it? We've applied it in our life, and now we can go through life with peace and with comfort and with joy and never have moments where we don't know which way to look. Now that we've come to that point, what are we going to do with it? If you have a smartphone and you get a brand new one, the newest one, top of the line iPhone or whatever comes out, what do you do with that? You stick it in your back pocket and you don't tell anybody that you have it. It's a mystery. Nobody knows that you have this smartphone, right? No. You're standing in line talking to people that you've never met, telling them all the amazing things that this piece of plastic can do. Right? We're excited about it. It has transformed the way we live. I no longer have to look at a paper atlas and put my focus on paper, trying to navigate from one state to the next. I can have this little piece of plastic tell me exactly which way to go and when to turn, and I can just enjoy the drive without the stress of an atlas, right? There's so many things that this can do. Folks, its power is nothing compared to the power we hold in this. But how many times do we get that same excitement and that same fervor to say, man, I'm going to take this tool that is so powerful and I'm going to give it to everybody out there? Why, if it's so powerful, it means so much to us, why do we not share it? I'm going to end with this last thought in chapter 4. I charge thee, now this is Paul talking to Timothy, and by great way of the Great Commission, I'm going to extend this same charge to you. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. That's whether it's convenient or not. Be ready to preach the word, whether it's convenient or not. Be studied up and be ready. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Folks, that reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering doctrine is beyond salvation. A lot of times we knock on doors, we tell people about Jesus, they get saved, we think, my job is done, and I move on to the next house. Folks, your job with that individual has just begun. Why? You led somebody to their Savior. You and him have a special connection now. He is going to lean on you for spiritual matters, and it is your responsibility to reprove, rebuke, and exhort him with all longsuffering and doctrine. That has now become your responsibility. God has entrusted you to teach them beyond salvation. You disciple them. Bring them up. I want one quick thought. If I have my three-year-old who, thank God, has become so much better at the churches that we go into. But when we started Deputation, and every church was a new church, and we didn't know what we were getting into, and it just became overwhelming to him. And we would pull into a church parking lot, and he would just start sobbing the second he saw a church building. In fact, I remember one time we drove by a church. It wasn't even the church we were going to, and he thought we were going to church, and he started crying. But it was because it was nothing was the same. New people, he struggled with it. Thankfully, God is allowing him, giving him grace to get through that now. But it took a year now before that started to happen. But I want to say that is, if I was to open up the door to the camper and say, now, I'm going to go to church. You meet me there in 10 minutes. Do you think my three-year-old's ever going to make it to where he's supposed to be? No. I'm going to go back in there. He's going to be eating Cheerios. Right? No, he's not going to make it. Folks, in Tanzania, right now, one of the biggest problems is we have a lot of people that go through and preach prosperity gospel. We have a lot of evangelists that will preach the correct gospel, but instead of staying around and planting a church and allowing the fruit to build, somebody gets saved, they blow out and go to another village to get other people saved, and that person there has had no training, can't hardly read a Bible even if he has a Bible, and there's absolutely no fruit beyond that. Yes, one or two people might have gotten saved, but they don't know what it means to have an abundant life in Christ. Somebody dropped the ball, and that happens not just in Africa, but that happens all over the world. That happens here in the United States. Evangelists will come in, preach the word, and not have a church in that area that can continue that work. I am not against evangelists. I am all for evangelism. But if there's not a church that I can refer you to the word that can continue to grow, I feel it's almost immoral for me to leave you there with nothing. You've got to have that solid grounding. Because once, like my wife said this morning, once you get saved, Satan is on the attack. And I've just left you open and vulnerable with nothing to defend yourself. That would be like me leaving my three-year-old outside in the parking lot to fend for himself. That's the vulnerability we're talking about. Verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Folks, the people that fall against or fall prey to false teachers, it is of their own doing. Why? We've been given the truth. If you fall prey to a false teacher, it's because you haven't studied this book out. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." This is where I want to end. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Folks, we have been given so much more than we deserve. Amen. We have been given not just life, we've been given the opportunity for an abundant life. For a life full of peace and joy and contentment in no matter what circumstances we're in. And it is our duty, it is our obligation out of love to take that and give it to other people so that they can enjoy the same abundant life that we have. We didn't get it because we deserved it. God didn't save us because there is something special about us. We can't pick and choose who we give the gospel to either. Whether it's convenient or not, instant, in season or out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. I just want to end with this reading, going back up to chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Folks, be a light in your community. Be a light to the people around you. There are so many people that have an empty spot in their hearts. They have an empty void. And we have what they need to fill that void. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for the time here. We thank you for your word and the power it possesses. We thank you for the joy and the contentment and the peace that you provide, the peace that passes all understanding. We ask that you would just encourage us, that you would build us, that you would allow us to be the light that you want us to be. We ask that you would allow us to be the salt of the earth. We ask that you would allow us to make full proof of our ministry, Lord, that we would endure the afflictions that you've set before us. We ask that we would be found worthy of your kingdom at your coming. We ask you'd be with the rest of the service and with the fellowship to come. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I think Satan's too happy in Tanzania right now. Now he asked, he said that we pray for missionaries every week here. We pray for missionaries often. We pray for their needs. We pray that God keeps them safe on the road. Tom said he needed a different kind of prayer. He needed a prayer that his spirit stays strong, his spirit stays focused. And I recognize that. I have the same problem here. But I have the same problem here with a whole lot of people around me that I can rely on. They're going to Tanzania without very many people out there they can rely on. So as you go through the week, I would ask that you take that challenge. Very familiar verses for us in here in Berea, the Timothy verses. But take that challenge and pray for them. Take that challenge and ask that God would empower them. Because just like me, if anything happens to this church, it's not because of me, it's because of God. Same Tanzania. And with that, I'd like to look at where he leads, I'll follow. Richard, lead us, turn your hymnals to hymn 473. Harmon's and Leiden are living these verses. You know, I looked at the pictures they showed of Tanzania. I looked in the map. It's not a place I go on vacation. They're not going for rest. They're not going for relaxation. They're going because God called them there. And they led him there, and he's following. The question is, are we doing the same thing? Are we looking to where God would lead us? And if we are we willing to follow him there? We have a great mission, great mission field right here. We're in a post-Christian nation. People don't care about God anymore. They need to hear the word because the word is not being preached out there. You know, what does not return void? My great speaking, my great oratory, my great preaching, right? That's what doesn't return void. No, his word does not return void. We need to make sure that we follow the word to find out what our call is, follow it, and bring that word to them. And great challenge today. Looking at what we need to do, how we need to do it, and I pray that we would. And as we get ready to pray to close the service, I would ask if anybody here, first of all, is not saved, get saved. Understand what you need to do. Understand an abundant life. If you are saved, is God calling you to something? And are you refusing that call? If you're refusing that call, you're in error and you will not have that abundant life. He will give you the desires of your heart because your heart, because your desires are what he wants to give you to do that call. So with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. After Rich plays one verse, I'll close this. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, all the great and precious promises that are therein. And Lord, we see that abundant life of serving you. You have made us joint heirs of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have adopted us as sons of the Most High God. You have made us ambassadors in this lost and dying world. Lord, let us understand exactly what our position is. We don't deserve it. We don't feel it. We don't live it because we are stuck in this flesh. But allow us to use your Spirit to guide us, direct us, strengthen us. Get out and give your word out, that your word may then bring people to Christ and Christ may gloriously save them. And I pray, Lord, for the Harmons as they get ready to go to Tanzania, that first of all, you would take care of their physical needs. Ensure that all the problems of getting over there are taken care of. Straighten the crooked paths of their journey. Get there and let them be established. And once they're there, Lord, strengthen their spirits. Give them the joy of knowing their labors are not in vain. Hold back the temptations of Satan. Give them the grace that is sufficient for them and let them know that joy of knowing that grace is sufficient for them. And let them know that their labors are not in vain. And I pray, Lord, that we'll hear of a great revival in Tanzania because that they were willing to answer the call. Go where you led. They followed. And I pray, Lord, that that word will not return void. As we get ready to eat, Lord, let us have a good time of fellowship and let us see what we can to support the Harmons in that great call. We ask it in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.